The Edge of the World Art Studio is proud to present Helen of the Iron Horse, written by Paris Danielle Lee. Artwork by Helen Rachel Lee. Music by Fish Zombie and the Onions. And special thanks to Spooky the Cat for her contributions, fuzzy as they might be. Chapter 20. A day that just seemed to drag. Paris ran back to the alley. She peeked out to see if they had followed her. The cavalry soldiers exited the saloon, but looked to the streets left and right, confused as to where they should go. They began to spread out and search for her. Several stayed behind to guard the saloon. Paris decided she needed help and began to run back to the stables where Odysseus and the carriage had been resupplying. As she got closer, she could see more and more of the soldiers at the carriage as well. They had surrounded Odysseus, Castor, and the other men. Paris returned to the alley. She squatted for a moment, hidden. Now what? She thought to herself. Never play a game you can't win, her mother's voice said to her from the past. Thanks, Luke. I don't really have much of a choice here. They will underestimate you. Let them. What would you do? Asked Paris, as she peered around the corner again. You know what I would do, she heard the voice in her head whisper. She almost felt Luke's hand on her shoulder. Yes, I know, Paris said out loud to herself. Then she carefully made her way back down the alley to the back door of the dress shop and snuck in. Miss? The shop clerk asked as Paris entered the shop from the rear. Paris looked at the shop clerk, putting a finger to her mouth and her hand out to show that she was not holding a gun. Shh. I'm sorry to have to ask, but we're in a bit of trouble, and I need your help. Yes, miss. What can I do for you? I need a dress. What kind of dress, miss? I need a dress fit for a queen. Of course. Let's see what we have. The woman led Paris to the front of the shop. Paris couldn't help but peek out the windows to see how many soldiers were still in the streets. The answer was always too many for her liking. Now, is this dress for you or for your... The woman stopped as if she couldn't think of the proper word and then said, Wife? This one will be for me, Paris said. So, she is your wife? Yes, Paris began to worry that the woman may not help her. Paris was desperate and couldn't risk searching for another dress shop. She knew what Luke would do, but she didn't want to do it the way he would. And the two of you have... The woman stopped again, in search of a way to ask the question she could not phrase, at least not politely. Lain together, the woman finished. Paris turned from the window to look at her. She was blushing and trying not to look directly at Paris. Are you trying to ask me whether or not we've had sex? The woman turned even brighter and held up a dress in front of Paris, judging whether or not it would look good on her. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you. I was just wondering. How would that work? I mean, you're both women. What do you do? How do you... I mean... I'm sorry. You don't have to answer any of these questions. Come to the back. I have to fit you. The woman almost ran to the back. Paris followed. I need your measurements. You have to take off your guns. Paris pulled the guns from her holsters and set them on the cutting table, next to the wedding dress Helen had bought earlier. It appeared that the woman had already started the alterations. Then she started to take off the belts to set them on the table as well. The dressmaker held a measuring tape with two hands, trying to approach Paris, while at the same time trying not to touch her or look at her. The process seemed impossible, and Paris stopped her by putting a hand on her shoulder. It doesn't matter that Helen and I are both women. We love each other, and we find a way to make each other happy. But you don't have a... And the woman whispered, Penis. Paris openly laughed. No, Paris answered, trying to hold back her laughter. But My hands are far more skilled than any man's dick ever has been. Paris wiggled her fingers, and the woman began to laugh too. How did you learn to do that?
How do you learn to sew?
I took lessons. I don't think anyone gives lessons in that.
And when your teachers told you how to sew, were you just able to do it? Did everything come out perfect from then on?
No, I had to practice.
And that's just it. All skill comes from practice. Knowledge is not enough. If you want to be good at something, you have to do it over and over again until you're good at it.
Wait, you mean with myself?
The woman flushed brighter than she had before.
Of course. Why not? I couldn't. I wouldn't know.
It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Take your time and find what works for you. Enjoy it. Think of it like your sewing lessons. You need practice. If you were looking for a teacher, this is probably the only lesson I can give you. And now you must complete your assignment.
Yes, miss. I will do my best.
That's the spirit. But first, let's get this dress on me. After that, the woman seemed to relax and very quickly took the measurements and gathered the garments. Like Helen before her, Paris needed a full complement. A hat, fan, corset, corset cover, underskirt, overskirt, bodice, chemise, bustle, stockings, shoes, gloves, bloomers, and, of course, the dress. Once she was dressed, she looked for ways to hide her guns. She left the shoes behind, preferring her boots with the hidden holsters. But other than that, she could not see anywhere else to hide the heavy weapons.
I need something else, she told the seamstress. I need somewhere I can hide a gun.
I know. The woman's eyes got wide. She ran to the front of the shop and then came right back. She had in her hands a wool muff, a tube of warm fabric meant to keep your hands in. It was just big enough to hide a gun.
It's a little late in the year for this, but it's still cold in the mornings, and no one will think anything of it if you're carrying it now.
The woman admired her work, then led Paris to a large mirror so she could see Paris looking at herself. She felt uncomfortable. In her mind, she could hear the voice of her father.
"You look like a French cake," he said.
Paris wanted to take the garment off immediately. She couldn't move in it. She wouldn't be able to fight. She couldn't reach her guns. If it weren't for the one in the muff, she would feel completely helpless. She knew this wasn't her. But that was the point. She wasn't supposed to be her. They were looking for her.
"It's perfect," she said, not wanting to disappoint the shop girl. "Do you have any sort of suitcase or trunk I can carry my weapons in?"
"You shouldn't carry a suitcase or trunk. It's not proper."
"I know what you could carry, though."
The woman pulled out two large hat boxes. She very carefully packed away Paris's other guns, belts, and her clothes. She tied them neatly with string and ribbons, adding a little extra flourish and decoration. "Try not to react to the weight, or people will know there's not hats in here."
"Thank you. You've probably saved my life, so really thank you. What's your name?"
"Catherine."
"Catherine,
somewhere out there is a girl looking for you while you are looking for her.
I'm sure of that now. You'll find her. But when you do, fight for her. Don't let anyone take her from you."
Paris turned and walked through the front door of the dress shop and out into the street. Catherine held still, stunned, not knowing what to think. All she could hear in her mind over and over again was, "There is a girl looking for me." She began to smile. Then she remembered she had promised to practice. She locked the front door and turned the sign to closed.
Odysseus sat just inside the carriage with the door open. His legs dangled off the edge. He watched the soldiers walk back and forth. They were not going to let them leave until they had found Helen. And, from what he could tell, Helen and Paris had disappeared during their shopping trip. He knew that was Paris's job. It was Paris's job to keep Helen safe, and if anyone were attempting to abduct her, even the cavalry, it would be proper for Paris and Helen to disappear. After all, You can't kidnap a girl you can't find. But Odysseus was beginning to worry he had read the situation wrong. Maybe they just disappeared. That's when he saw what to him was a strange woman weaving her way through the soldiers, carrying two hat boxes. She was wearing a beautiful blue and purple striped dress and a veiled hat with feathers. It wasn't until she was almost in front of him that he realized it was Paris.
Odysseus, why isn't this carriage ready to go? What are you sitting around for? Castor!
She turned to set the boxes on the ground.
How dare you leave me and not return? I had to walk through the town, carrying my own packages. This is insulting and intolerable. Odysseus, I want this carriage ready to move immediately. I don't want to spend another minute in this glorified fruit stand they call a city.
Paris finished, pretending not to see the soldiers.
Odysseus? Thought Odysseus.
Oh no. She's being Helen.
Okay. This is her show. I'm sorry, Helen.
Odysseus made a point to say the name loudly, projecting it so that all of the soldiers could hear.
But these men are detaining us until they can find your bodyguard. Apparently, and the irritation in Odysseus' voice was very real, she assaulted a cavalry officer, and they have a warrant for her arrest. If she found the need to assault a cavalry officer, I'm sure she had good reason. And the cavalry officer should probably consider himself lucky she didn't just shoot him, said Paris. It's not really important to debate the merits of what she did or didn't do. The problem is, we can't leave without her. Where is she? Helen.
Odysseus said this a little louder, when from behind Paris she heard a man clearing his throat. She turned to see another cavalry officer.
Are you Helen Taggett?
I am, said Paris.
You're Helen Taggett?
Don't ask the same question twice. It makes you look like an idiot. Now, what do you want?
Paris was having a bit of fun with her Helen role.
You need to come with me. The captain wants to see you. I don't wish to see the captain, so no.
I must insist. I have my orders. You have to come with me.
Am I under arrest?
If so, for what charge?
Your bodyguard assaulted an officer. And if you can find her, you may arrest her. But I am not her, and you have no warrant for me, so I am a free citizen and can go as I please. Now, if you wouldn't mind, you and your little tin soldiers can all go back to the shoebox that you came from and leave us alone.
That's not going to happen until you come see the captain.
Why?
Because he ordered it, and that's all you need to know.
Then he will release my men and my carriage?
That will be for him to decide.
Fine. Apparently, you don't have brains enough to make a decision of your own, do you?
Paris turned from the man. Looking at Odysseus, she said,
I'm going to go see the captain. When I come back, I want this carriage ready to roll. Castor, be sure to put my hats inside the cabin.
Paris turned back to the officer.
Now, if you could follow whatever breadcrumb trail you left so that you could find your way back home, please take me to see this captain.
The officer led Paris away.
Odysseus sat stunned for a moment. He wanted to laugh, but he didn't want to give away that something was wrong. He did have to give Paris some credit, though. She had a plan, and she had communicated her desire without giving away her disguise. She wanted him to get the carriage ready. The whole thing made him appreciate Helen more than he had before. Helen may have her quirks, but at least she wasn't a bitch.
This has been Helen of the Iron Horse, written by Paris Lee. Artwork by Helen Lee. Performed by Helen and Paris. All characters within are fictional and bear no intentional resemblance to anyone living or dead, except, I guess, for Helen and Paris. See more of our work at edgeoftheworldart.com. If you would like to comment on the show or ask any question, please email us at helenoftheironhorse@gmail.com. The proceeding was made with the love and encouragement of all of our friends at the LA LGBT Center's Trans Lounge. Thank you.